Good morning once again. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our Memorial Day weekend sermon text is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 12. Then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. Now, in considering Memorial Day in light of the scriptures and the Christian faith, first and foremost, Jesus comes to mind. But John the Baptist also came to my mind as well in the preparation. See, John was the last in a long line of faithful Old Testament prophets. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And he was murdered for his truthful testimony. John was among those of whom it is written, still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens, in caves of the earth. Now, John the Baptist pointed men to spiritual freedom, teaching that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. All gave some, but some gave all in the service of God, even Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. As it is written of him, and as he spoke, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. So let us each consider what we, who wear the uniform of a Christian, are willing to give. And so to this end, this morning we shall eulogize John the Baptist along three lines. First, his story. Second, his testimony, and third, his legacy. Before moving forward, I should like to make a note. As you hear, and when this discourse is closed, will you examine your life along these lines while you still have breath? There is yet time to live a life of service to your Lord. First, the story of John the Baptist. His life started with blessing, promise, and anticipation, as it is with every baby who is conceived and born into this world. Each one unique according to God's purpose. And so we read in Luke, now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father Zacharias, but his mother answered and said, no. He shall be called John. But they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. Apparently, Zacharias had been rendered deaf as well as dumb. And he asked for a writing tablet. And he wrote, saying, his name is John. So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke praising God. And then fear came on all who dwelt around them. And all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was upon him. Now, having grown up in a godly home, John found his calling and his purpose to herald the coming King, King Jesus, the God-man, the Messiah. Mark records this as being the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness or the remission of sins. And then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with the leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And so now we come to the testimony of John the Baptist. For John came neither eating nor drinking. He had little time for eating. And so his diet was simple. He had no time for drinking. He was too busy doing the work of God. And so John was abstinent, having been made a Nazarite from his birth. There was little time for socializing and no time for small talk. In short, there was no wasted time. And so John came testifying to the multitudes, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" We used to train our greeters here at Firm Foundation to greet the folks outside that way. But we found that many people would then not come inside. And so we wait until they get inside and we preach it to them. "Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." So the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" He answered and said to them, "He who has two tunics, let him give to one who has none. He who has food, let him do likewise." And then tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to them, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what is appointed for you." Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, "And what shall we do?" So he said to them, "Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages." Now, as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And with many other exhortations, he preached to the people. Today, there are not many men who have the stomach to hear such true, powerful preaching. But yet, I know no other way but the way which is presented to me in the Scriptures. And so thank God for the example that I find therein. Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet? The one spoken of in Deuteronomy chapter 18? And he answered, "No." And they said to him, "Who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Well, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." So to summarize John's message, men ought to, A, repent and turn from their sins, B, receive Jesus, the Lamb of God, as their Lord, God, and Savior, and C, follow him. It's a very simple message. In this message, we have received from our Lord. And to this has been added the content, that which was fulfilled according to the Scriptures, that Christ died for our sins on the third day, was buried, and rose again according to the Scriptures. And so the testimony of John was after this manner. Even as the American soldier puts country above self, the soldier of God puts kingdom above self. Now, to our third point, the legacy of John the Baptist. Many of those who had been his disciples and sat under his teaching, including John, Andrew, Peter, Philip, Nathaniel, and others, became solid kingdom Christians. Followers of Jesus, as soon as he was identified as the Christ by their teacher. Others had heard John's message, and he'd come, and he'd gone. There are many who come and go. Even come and go from this place and come back. They always come back. These, as John's disciples in Acts 19, received the truth later in life, and accept it because the seed was planted. For others, confirmation was received sooner. There came a day when John the Baptist had been imprisoned, and he had heard in prison about the works of Christ. And so he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" This, John said, not for his own benefit, but for the benefit of his disciples, that the testimony of Jesus might be affirmed by two or three witnesses. And here Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." And so Jesus answers with the testimony of Scripture, a threefold witness. From the words of the prophet Isaiah. Now it's a sad ending to the life of John the Baptist. On account of his own sin, Herod the Tetrarch imprisoned the man of God and sold out John's life for a lascivious dance. As we read in the scriptures, the king was sorry, nevertheless, because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he commanded it, that is the head of John the Baptist, on a platter to be given to her. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. And then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. And when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. He went away to mourn for a little while. For John the Baptist was a true servant of the Lord, a true servant of the heavenly country. He was a devoted citizen. May our devotion to God and country be a tenth of his. Friend, nobody is asking you this morning to die for your testimony of Jesus. What we are doing is asking you to live for it. Jesus did the dying so that you and I can do the living. For God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And so, the challenge of Isaiah resonates down through the centuries. Put me in remembrance, says the Lord. Have you believed upon Have you begun to follow Jesus yet? Yet. Not yet? Why not? It is for all your being, for your whole soul, for which Christ died, that it be not lost, that you and I might enjoy freedom in God through Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for that great work that you have done for us, for paying the penalty for our sins that we could not pay, for rising from the dead to freely give those who believe a life that we could not live. Those of us of the household of faith are thankful that you have tethered us to the vine, your Son Jesus Christ. To those who may be on the cusp, who've heard this word, who may have been affected this morning by the moving of your Spirit, concerning these we pray, that this not be lost, but that it be unto the salvation of a soul of such great value that you died for that soul. For what can a man give in exchange for the soul when that day of accounting comes? Lord, we thank you for the testimony of John the Baptist, and for his example, for how he was willing to live for your kingdom and to lay down his life for it. For indeed, he was a great kingdom citizen. Teach us to be more like him in spirit. Lord, we pray for our country. For our country is exceedingly wicked as a whole. It would be no wonder if you might even esteem it worse than wicked Nineveh of old. But yet we pray that you might revive your work in the midst of the years, beginning here in your church. And we pray for those in authority, from the president to the senator, the representative, the governor, the assemblyman, the mayor, the councilman, right down to the dog catcher. Lord, that you might guide all of these individuals, the majority of whom who don't even know you, towards salvation, and according to your providence, that your kingdom might be honored. And Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice of those men and women who paid the ultimate price that we might sit here freely in this assembly and preach this word. May we never take that for granted, lest we lose it in a moment. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.